No, we're good? How you good? Are you good? Everybody good?
God is good. That's our testimony.
That's our testimony.
Carries us through.
Amen. Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is the Believer's Boot Camp Part 4. We're covering chapter 4. And I want to read just a few verses to begin out of Ephesians chapter 4. And then we'll pray and then look at a more verse by verse meaning of all of this. All right, please stand for the Word of God. Amen. And while you're there, just exercise a little bit and get feeling good, you know, okay? Relaxed. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to do verse 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all. Amen. Paul came from southern Israel. Father, we just praise your name. Thank you for this book. Thank you for this letter that Paul wrote while he was in prison. Lord, I don't think it was prison like we have today. I think it was a pretty destitute place. But yet he communed with you and wrote the words you had to say to the Ephesian church and to mature believers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, use these few minutes to teach us, inspire us, change us. Don't let us leave here like we came. Change us through the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and the written word of God. Lord, use me as your vessel and pour out. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to exercise again before you sit down. Amen. Whatever it takes. Okay, we've gone through three chapters of Ephesians. And beginning with chapter 4, this is a transitional part of the book. If we were to end the book with chapter 3, we would all have tremendous truths, but we wouldn't have any practical wisdom at all. Chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians contain what they call positional truth, who we are in Christ. You need to know who you are in Christ. Jesus saved your soul for something. Amen?
Amen.
Chapters 4 through 6 contain practical or temporal truth. Practical or temporal truth is the application of positional truth in our everyday life. Hallelujah. So we learned something in the first three chapters. Starting with chapter 4, we're going to learn how to put it together, how to work it, how to live with it. Amen? You with me? And in other words, folks, because I am righteous, I am now able to live righteously. Because I am holy, now I can live holy. Because I am sanctified, now I can live sanctified. In the first three chapters, we've been gaining knowledge. In the next three chapters, we will be applying that knowledge in the form of wisdom. Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Amen? We have been hearers of the word. We've received it. Okay? Now we're going to become doers of the word.
Amen?
Amen? The things Paul will tell us to do in the last half of Ephesians are impossible to do for the natural man. The living out of the Christian life appears to be an impossible task. Who can do it? Who can do it? It is only when the power of the Spirit of God is activated can the Christian life become a reality. Amen. Through the Word and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we become equipped to live the life of a Christian in the devil's world. Amen. So let's look at chapter 4. Great chapter. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. To walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. Now, look at the phrase, walk worthy. You have been called to be Christ's representative in the earth. You've been called to be Christ's representative in the earth. Can others see Jesus in you? Can others see Jesus in you? God often calls you to do things you cannot do.
True.
He called Peter to walk on water. He called Lazarus to come out of the grave. He called Pastor Jerry to preach. Things you cannot do. Amen? God imparts supernatural ability to us as we become obedient to Him.
Amen.
Now here's the key. Walk as though you are already at the place of maturity you are pursuing. Don't walk according to where you are in the natural. Verse number 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And the phrase I want to look at there is with all lowliness. People are observing our life. It is God in you always, not yourself. The higher your call, the more gifted you may be. But don't dwell on others' weaknesses because you're gifted a little bit more. Help them to mature with you. Amen?
Yes.
As you remain humble, gentle, patient, and understanding with those in like faith. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10, he said, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. When I am weak, I am strong. We rely only on God, folks, not on ourselves. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity of the Spirit. Unity is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. We must be bound together in and by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Listen, folks, how the Spirit is leading our church is far more important than my or your preferences.
Amen.
We want the Spirit to lead our church. But we must learn to appreciate each other's differences And with God's help, see how our differences can complement one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Fulfilling our calling is inseparably tied to our allegiance to one another.
Amen.
Amen. Unity costs something, and unity will always cause a struggle. In verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One body and one spirit. Coming into God's presence also means that we have come into each other's presence. Amen? As another member of the church, it doesn't matter whether you understand them or like them. That doesn't matter. But keep in mind that that God is their God too.
Right?
God is their God too. Verse 5 and 6. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen, y'all.
Amen.
Our togetherness is a dynamic oneness. However, it will take God to hold it together.
Amen.
Amen. Always remember that God is in us all. All of us. All of us. And God is over us all. He is over us all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, the word grace or graciousness means the divine influence upon your heart, so that what is in your heart is reflected in your life. When we reflect God's grace, it helps us in our relationship with others and their relationship with us. Amen? Verse 8 says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this is a quote from Psalm chapter 68, verse 18. Okay, captivity captive. The Old Testament saints were held captive by the grave. Amen?
Amen?
You can read about Abraham's bosom in Luke chapter 16. But the New Testament church, now you ready? The New Testament church is not held captive by the grave.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
We are free, and that chain has been broken.
Amen?
Hallelujah. We are not captive by the grave. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Jesus' resurrection assures us that Satan was defeated and we are no longer in bondage.
Hallelujah.
We are no longer in bondage, folks. Jesus went into hell itself. So that we would never have to go there.
Amen.
The devil is defeated by our Savior, and now Jesus sits in the seat of power to enforce that victory. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I sit and picture Jesus walking into the devil's domain.
And kicking butt.
Someday we're all going to kick his butt. Hallelujah.
He's under our feet right now,
Christian. Amen.
Absolutely.
He's under our feet. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. These positions are referred to as the fivefold leadership ministry of the church. The he in that verse is the Lord Jesus. The one that gave gifts in this verse is the Lord Jesus. The one who descended, the one who ascended, and completed all things. These gifts were given to the church by Jesus to accomplish his purposes. His purposes. All other spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. Jesus alone gives these ministry gifts.
Oh, hallelujah.
As long as we still have the church, we will still have these ministry offices.
Right.
All five of them.
Right.
Some people teach four ministry gifts. They combine pastoring and teaching into one gift. But other places in the Bible, Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talks about ministry gifts by themselves. There's five gifts, amen? The position of the apostle may be active in all ministries. A prophet gives direction. An evangelist reaches outward. A pastor is in covenant with the body, and he leads the body of believers, and the teacher brings understanding to the word. Five different gifts that we can thank Jesus for.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Church leadership has one job: to perfect or to mature the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry. What is that work of the ministry? It's Jesus' ministry on earth. What's Jesus doing today? Well, he's doing it through you. His ministry continues on, and he uses people that sit in the church all the time to do his ministry. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? The word edify means to grow or to build up the body. All right? Read it again now. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Leadership has one job: to prepare you to grow and build up the body of Christ and be an active representative of Jesus wherever you go and whatever you do.
Amen.
Amen. It becomes the responsibility of the entire body to accomplish the work God has commissioned us to do. The church can and will do great things, but only as it works together. Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Mature saints are unified with each other, their pastor, and the church. Every saint has a task to do, but we can accomplish more together than we would ever dream possible if we were to work alone. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That last phrase, cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, it is essential for Christians to know the truth so that they are not influenced or deceived by the devil. Satan will use people. The Bible calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. Amen? They bring chaos and destruction to the church. Right here, Paul is again trying to wolf-proof the church. We talked about that in one of the first three chapters. Paul was telling the people, look out. Satan will send people to do things in your church to help destroy it.
Amen.
Amen? In Turning Point Church, since its existence, we have had maybe two, I know of one, maybe two, messengers of Satan come into our church. But you see, you don't mess with a spirit-filled church.
Amen. Stay long.
They don't stay long because it's evident what they're doing.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth takes boldness. And speaking in love takes kindness. And you need both. Our words should be honest, and our actions should reflect whose integrity? Jesus's. We're his representative.
Amen.
In verse 16 it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. All right, there's several things here I want to look at. One phrase is joined and knit together. In the King James it says we are fitly joined. We're not loosely joined. We're not casually joined. We're not independent, but interdependent. There are no lone rangers in the body of Christ. All of us are united in purpose and love. If a person stumbles, others need to pick him up and help him walk. The church should provide restoration for anyone who flounders. Anyone. Every joint and every part. When one part of the body doesn't work properly, we may all suffer because of it. However, the unity of the body provides strength for each and every part. Edifying. Now this time, this word is a building term, which basically means renovating. Renovating. We are all responsible for helping each other change and grow and become healthy.
Amen.
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 All of us. Are you guys getting the idea that Paul's talking about unity?
Yep.
He told us all this knowledge ahead of time. Now we put it to work by doing what? Becoming unified. Unified as the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, in order to be loyal to that which you have been called to, you may have to be disloyal to that which you have been called from. I want to tell you that again. I want it to resonate in you. In order to be loyal to that which you have been called to, you may have to be disloyal to that which you have been called from. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility or vanity of their mind. Okay, the phrase futility of their mind. The natural tendency of human beings is to think their way away from God. Think their way away from God. That's because the human ego can't function in God's kingdom unless it has been modified by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? Self-centered living is against all of God's instruction. All of it. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart.
True.
The word ignorance here is because unbelievers walk in darkness. They walk in darkness. They may possess human intelligence, but they are spiritually ignorant. They're living with a closed mind and a hard heart. They're spiritually ignorant. Verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, I want us to look at the King James Version of the same verse. I like it better because I like the word in it better. Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. I'm sure I wasn't right on with that word, but you all got it, didn't you?
Yep.
Lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Lasciviousness means unrestrained action with no boundaries. No boundaries. The unbeliever has no sense of shame. They often live for lustful purposes, lustful pleasures. On the contrary, the Christian lives with restrained action. Restrained action, avoiding any practice of such impurity. Amen?
Amen.
They live with unrestrained action. We live with restrained action. The life of a Christian is a disciplined life. Verse 22, I love this. We're going to look at 22, 23, and 24, but we'll mix them up a little bit here. Ephesians 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put off. Okay? Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Amen? So you put off and you put on. Listen, folks, if God says you can do it, you can do it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
If it's in here and God's expecting you to do it, you can do it.
Amen. That's right.
With the Holy Spirit's help, of course.
Amen.
Now, look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what is between put off and put on? Renewing your mind. Changing your attitude and your thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to put off my old attitude and I'm going to put on my new attitude, right? Amen. With the Holy Spirit's help. Praise God. Praise God. I told you last week, you wouldn't like me when years ago. But something was put on me. I hope you like me now because I have this new thing put on now. I hope you like me now.
Amen. We love you, Pastor James.
Thank you. Thank you.
We like Jesus.
Thank you. Listen, folks, your new clothes may not immediately be as comfortable as your old clothes. Right? But keep putting them on and practicing this new behavior until your new attitude or new actions become a habit, a way of life. Amen. But doing that feels like a put-on, Pastor Jerry. Exactly. However, this is not being a hypocrite. It is retraining yourself to walk with God and restraining your old self from walking in sin.
Hallelujah.
Retraining to walk with God, restraining from walking in sin. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Wow. There's a lot of stuff in this book, isn't
there?
Wow. Glory to God. Four things to put off. Four things to put off. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And that neighbor there is your church partner. Amen? Resist the temptation to lie. Be honest in word and spirit That means the impressions you give. Lying disrupts unity. It creates conflict. And it destroys trust. Okay? Verse 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27. Nor give place to the devil. Anger here is that deep feeling of displeasure. So it is essential that we deal with any anger immediately and biblically to handle anger properly. Otherwise, it may hurt others and destroy relationships. If we nurse our anger, it will give the devil an opportunity to divide us. Only get angry over those things which God has anger for. Anybody know what that is? Sin. Get angry at sin. When you do it, and when others do it, and when you see it, get angry at sin. Hallelujah. Third thing. Oh, wait a minute. Third thing. Verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. All right? Stealing. No one should take something that is not rightfully theirs. The Bible tells us that we should get a job and be generous with what we have. Amen. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Corrupt word or corrupt talk. This verse not only covers filthy language, but folks, negative talk as well. Negative talk is corrupt. Nothing negative comes from the Lord. That might have hit some of you between the eyes. That's why we go through these things. Not many days go by that something doesn't hit me between the eyes. It's part of that change we're making.
Hallelujah.
Part of that walk we're walking. The word edification and impart grace. Speak those words that will encourage and edify others. If your communication destroys unity or damages a brother or sister, it is unacceptable. There are ways to correct a brother without condemning him. Give grace to your fellow believers. Give grace to your fellow believers. Don't be the Holy Spirit. There's only one, and he does a great job.
Amen.
We don't need the Holy Spirit in every pew or every chair. Let him be God. Let us be us. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The word grieve, the Holy Spirit's been given to us as a guarantee that we belong to God. Never should we behave in a manner that would humiliate the Holy Spirit. The very one that lives within us represents the King of our life. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These are six behaviors that grieve the Holy Spirit. Bitterness. Bitterness that is motivated by unforgiveness. Remember, Jesus forgave those who crucified him. Wrath. Wrath is a severe anger that is motivated by a desire for revenge. I'm gonna get even. Anger. Anger that is motivated by something ungodly, like a loss of personal power, and you can't stand it, and it makes you angry. Clamor. Clamor is also called brawling in 1 Timothy 3:3. It is motivated by discontentment. Evil speaking. This is nasty and hurtful speech motivated by jealousy. Malice. Malice means malicious or evil intentions toward another, and it is motivated by hatred. Those are six things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The final verse in chapter 4 is verse 32, and it says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Be kind actually means to have a pleasant nature. So don't just think you're kind, be kind. Amen?
Amen.
The words "as God," when we begin to see others as God sees them, we will then be tenderhearted or compassionate toward them and forgive them even when they are undeserving. Hallelujah. Now, I want to close with this verse. It isn't in Ephesians, but I think it's important that we look at it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We are to have such a deep compassion for people that forgiveness is never a question. We must desire to forgive them as Jesus, out of his deep compassion, he forgave us. Amen?
Amen?
How long does it take God to forgive us? He forgives us instantly. God forgives entirely and completely. And as his children, we are to do the same. When we are tenderhearted or compassionate, then we will lovingly forgive those who wrong us. Amen?
Amen?
Saints, it's time for us to go to work. It's time to take what we've learned in the first three chapters and put it to work in our lives. It's time to take what God has already placed within us as Christians and use it for his glory. Amen? We are God's representatives in the earth. God's representatives in the earth. May the world see him in us. May the world see him in us, folks, as we are unified one with another. Paul wants the church to be unified, united, as we represent Jesus Christ to this lost world outside that door. No, I used this example before, but I had a friend, a co-worker with mine, with me, and he was a huge guy, and Marco's back there, he's all muscled up, just a huge guy. And I always wanted to take him places that I went. Because I had somebody backing me up. That's what we do to each other, folks. That's our job. To back each other up. My buddy's name was Harold. Lunchtime, he'd be pushing up. He'd be, you know, take chairs and home chairs, everything. He had a little old camper that he drove around, and that camper would be going lunchtime because he's in there doing all these workouts. He's huge. Huge. Come on with me, Harold. So what I want to say today is, come on with me, church.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Back us up. Back each other up. Don't let Satan get a hold of us. Be my right hand. If you see Satan bothering me, help me. If you see a weakness, strengthen me. If you see something I need, provide it if you can. Let's be united. Let the devil say, oh, I don't want to go by that church. They'll spot me in a minute. Unity. That's how we put the things that we learn to work. One step at a time, together. Together. You know, I hate where the world has become. We've talked about this before. I have one neighbor, he's a bachelor man, that the garage door opens up, his car goes in, garage door closes, you never see him again. There have been times I wondered if he was alive in that house. You know, when I worked a marathon the last time, people across the hall from me would send me an email. Just simple questions. They don't talk. This COVID virus makes all of us go through a drive-thru. I hate drive-thrus. I was so happy when the bank lobby opened up so I could go in and talk to these people eyeball to eyeball. I want them to see Jesus in me. I don't want them just to hear my voice over, hey, I want a Coke. What does that say?
You always hand the tract through the window when you go through. I find if you put a dollar bill or two in there and hand it up to them, they take it. So maybe they'll even read it. Who knows? Yeah. Come back and ask for a book report next week.
Amen.
Yep.
We were made to be together.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' day, you know, they never left home. They just added another room to the house. Guy get married, bring his bride over there, and build a room. And the rest of the family would help him build it. And there they were, all together. I really think that we've lost a lot of our hospitality and our closeness through society, the way society acts right now. My mother and dad, just, you know, that's recent history, but every Sunday night somebody from the church was over at the house. My mother was a baker, and she had desserts galore, and that's why I look like I look. And I keep talking to Bonnie, but she doesn't listen to me. Those pies, different things. But in much more unity, and folks, the world has stripped us from that.
From our compassion.
We have lost. The church has lost many things, but that's one of them. We need to be unified.
Amen.
Start looking at each other differently. Hallelujah. follow Ephesians. I asked Karen to lead us in an old chorus hymn about the church. Let's stand again.
Where are you trying on? Here?
Red button
red
on
button.
The bottom.
Okay. Not yet.
You can hold it sometime.
Oh.
There you go.
Hello. No. Lights on.
No.
Lights on. Lights on.
Now you might shut it off. Let me see.
Yeah, it's on back here.
I don't know what's wrong. It won't even shut off. I think we did this last time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's sing together, folks.
Just a minute.
For so many blessings. And Lord, thank you for this body of believers.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless y'all. Love you.
Amen.